That's their feeder. So we'll give them a little bit of grain every morning, and that's mainly for training them. They don't normally get out, but if you have like a tree down on the fence, or like a couple Thanksgivings ago, they were in the road. Like, you shake the grain and they kind of come running. So
did you get them all back on the road?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They love their food.
Today, you know, they're kind of right congregated at the top of the hill. The breeze is coming over. I put a fresh round bale of hay out there, and they're in heaven. They are in heaven. Let me get some. Let me get some alfalfa pellets.
And so, what's the demand?
For me, I can't raise them fast enough.
You can't raise them fast enough.
We are sold out of breeding stock. I am limited supply on meat. We do still, at our 7 farmers markets, offer yak meat for sale, but at limited quantities at all the locations.
But let's quickly note that we were talking about meat, but most of your sales are in non-meat products, in the wool.
Correct. My primary business is selling the llama and alpaca hair and even the yak hair made into socks, mittens, hats, gloves, blankets, yarn.
And that you've been at for a long time.
Yes.
In fact, you have a distinction as the first.
We were the first alpaca farm in the state of New Jersey. And for the farm, this is 40 years in business.
How many alpaca and llamas do you have?
We have right now about 100, 125 all together with the yaks, the llamas, and alpacas, depending on how many we sell, how many are you know, born, things like that. You know, yak we process. The number is always fluctuating.
Do you buy alpaca and llamas primarily to sell or to just continue to harvest the wool here?
We raise all our llamas and alpacas here, and then I'll breed to sell the offspring to other alpaca farmers.
They're obviously kept away strategically from the risk of getting the deer-borne tick. Mm-hmm. But they don't get parasites that require
the alpacas and llamas?
That require veterinarian interventions as a rule?
We do
everything.
We can vaccinate
them. We worm them.
In-house.
Depending, so there's a kind of different rules of thumbs for worming the animals. We tend to look at eyelid colors and see, you know, bright pink, very healthy, lighter white, anemic. Those are the ones that you, with a wormer. And some of them are just, a lot of people try to breed that resistance in them. On the West, there's people with, you know, 2,000 acres, and they just kick their animals out and they let them go. And, you know, the ones that survive are the hardy ones. And the ones that end up getting parasites aren't so lucky.
Well, among other things, you don't have 2,000 acres.
Exactly. So for us, we, you know, we'll bring them in, you know, every 6 to 8 weeks and, you know, monitor them, check all eyelids just to see if somebody needs a little bit of assistance. We'll give them, you know, B vitamin shots or we'll give them a dewormer.
We all have to eat. No farmers, no food. That's the number one tagline you see everywhere, and that's true. The farmers are getting fewer and farther between. A lot of it's going to big commercial operations, even overseas, and the smaller farmer is trying to do what they can and do more direct marketing here, you know, in the Northeast.
Toward that end, is there a collaborative effort between like-minded farmers? And do you learn and trade tips and secrets and suggestions?
It's getting better. You know, farming 20 years ago was, you know, no one wanted to talk about it. No one wanted to have people out at the farm. And now with the influx of local farmers markets, there's more farmers. We're talking, you know, get a network together. When we had the one hurricane, I had helped the one farmer. He didn't have a generator for his well. He had 20 cows to water. You know, the animals have to get water. And you don't think about stuff like that when, you know, you have all these animals dependent on you. You have to be out there ahead of the game, being ready for bad weather, talking to other farmers. Oh, do you have a water tank? Oh, do you have the generator? You know, can I use this? Or you have one out.
Weather, of course, is always a variable, but all you need to do apparently is just listen to the yak.
Yes. Over the last 5-6 years of processing yak, with the last 2 winters that were brutal for most of us, the yak actually knew. We saw an increase in fat on the outside of the meat, which I couldn't explain the first year until we survived the first winter. As soon as the winter was over, they lost that fat because they needed the extra fat to make it through the winter. We processed a few more. The meat was back to normal. And then again, when we processed some in December, they had already had fat on them. This year, when we processed in the fall, there was no fat, and we didn't have a bad winter. So it's they have that sixth sense of, you know, when winter's going to be bad, they need to put on some more insulation for them to survive winter.
I have a lot more questions, but you're a farmer, so I'll have to let you get back to the fields. Thanks so much for your time.
Anytime. Thanks for coming out today, guys.